Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. I'm Alex, and joining me as always is Jordan. Today we're diving into Bristol Myers Squibb's first quarter 2026 results, and there's quite a lot to unpack here.
Absolutely, Alex. But before we get started, I want to make sure our listeners know that this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Thanks for that, Jordan. Now, let's talk Bristol Myers Squibb. Ticker: Bristol Myers Squibb. This pharmaceutical giant just reported first quarter results, and honestly, they seem to be firing on multiple cylinders right now.
The numbers tell a solid story, Alex. Total revenue came in at $11.5 billion, up 1% year-over-year. But here's what's really interesting. Their growth portfolio, which includes their newer, more innovative drugs, grew 9% to $6.2 billion. That's nearly half their total revenue now coming from these growth assets.
That's a massive shift for a company that's been dealing with patent cliffs on older drugs. What stood out to you in terms of specific products driving this growth?
Several winners here. Reblozyl grew 15%, Breyanzi, their CAR T-cell therapy, jumped 53%, and Camzyos nearly doubled to $314 million. But the elephant in the room is still Eliquis, their blood thinner, which brought in $4.1 billion and grew 13% despite facing generic competition eventually.
Let's talk about what CEO Chris Boerner emphasized during the call. He really hammered home three strategic priorities: focusing R&D on life-threatening diseases, executing on their growth portfolio, and maintaining disciplined capital allocation. But Jordan, what caught my attention was all the talk about late 2026 being a make-or-break period for several key programs.
Yes, this is crucial, Alex. They have what Boerner called an increasing cadence of pivotal readouts coming in late 2026. We're talking about milvexian for atrial fibrillation and stroke prevention, Cobenfy for Alzheimer's psychosis, and some important cancer drug data. These aren't just incremental updates. These could define the company's growth trajectory for years.
Let's break down a couple of these. Milvexian is their Factor XIa inhibitor, essentially trying to create a blood thinner with less bleeding risk than current options. How big could this be?
Potentially massive, Alex. They're testing it against Eliquis, their own blockbuster drug, trying to show it's just as effective but causes less bleeding. Think about it. If you can reduce the main side effect that keeps doctors from prescribing blood thinners, you could expand the treatable patient population significantly. Adam Lenkowsky, their Chief Commercialization Officer, called it having true blockbuster potential.
And then there's Cobenfy, which they're testing in Alzheimer's psychosis. This seems like a completely different approach to treating psychiatric symptoms in dementia patients.
Right. And this addresses a huge unmet need. Current antipsychotics used in elderly dementia patients carry black box warnings and cause serious side effects like movement disorders and cognitive impairment. Cobenfy works on a completely different mechanism, muscarinic receptors instead of dopamine. If it works, it could be the first approved treatment specifically for Alzheimer's psychosis.
Now, during the Q&A, there were some really interesting exchanges. One analyst asked about their confidence levels in these trials, and Chief Medical Officer Christian Massacesi gave pretty detailed responses about trial design and patient selection.
What struck me was how specific they were about the milvexian trial design. They disclosed that they're testing for non-inferiority to Eliquis with specific margins, then looking for superiority on bleeding reduction. That level of detail suggests real confidence in their approach. They recruited 20,500 patients. That's a massive study.
Let's talk finances for a moment. David Elkins, their CFO, mentioned they're tracking toward the upper end of their guidance ranges. Earnings per share came in at $1.58, and they're reaffirming full-year guidance while generating over $1 billion in operating cash flow.
The financial discipline story is important here, Alex. They're in the middle of a $2 billion cost savings initiative running through 2027, which is giving them flexibility to invest in R&D and potential acquisitions. Borner mentioned they're size agnostic when it comes to business development. They have the financial firepower for deals of various sizes.
Speaking of R&D, they made some bold claims about productivity improvements. They're targeting a 50% faster timeline to identify lead molecules and a 30% reduction in overall development cycle times using AI and automation.
That's huge if they can deliver on it, Alex. Drug development is notoriously slow and expensive. They mentioned partnerships with companies like Faro to design trials more efficiently. In an industry where getting drugs to market faster can mean billions in additional revenue, these productivity gains could be a real competitive advantage.
One thing that came up multiple times was their CELMoDs program. These are protein degradation drugs for blood cancers. They have iberdomide with an FDA decision coming in August, and they just reported positive phase 3 data for mezigdomide.
This is their attempt to build the next generation of treatments for multiple myeloma after their older drugs faced generic competition. These are oral medications that could potentially replace current standards of care. Borner seemed particularly excited about this platform, mentioning they have additional degraders in development beyond just these two drugs.
Looking forward, what should investors be watching for?
The back half of 2026 is absolutely critical. We'll get data on Milvexian, Cobenfy, several cancer drugs, and more. Success in even a couple of these programs could validate their R&D strategy and support long-term growth. Failure could mean they need to rely more heavily on business development to fill gaps.
Any concerns?
The main risk is execution. They have a lot of balls in the air, and pharmaceutical development is inherently risky. They're also facing competition in several key areas. Camzyos now has a competitor, and the blood thinner market is getting more crowded. But they seem to have the financial resources and strategic focus to navigate these challenges.
Before we wrap up, Jordan, anything else investors should keep in mind?
Just remember that everything we've discussed today is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Great point. Bristol-Myers Squibb appears to be in a transition phase, moving from patent cliff management to growth acceleration. The next 6 to 9 months should tell us a lot about whether their strategy is working. Thanks for joining us on Beta Finch, and we'll see you next time for another AI-powered earnings breakdown.
Thanks, everyone. And remember to always do your own research before making any investment decisions.
That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.